Hello, everyone. Joshua Gilliland and Jessica Meterson here. We are here tonight to discuss the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Season 2 premiere. Jess, how you doing?
There's no Jess here, just the cavalry, Josh. I'm here to kick some butt and take some names. Does it work? Am I as imposing as Agent May?
You do have your tactical turtleneck on. So.
And the glasses. I know. I'm like, look, I can dress in black. I can do some kicks, some punches, some good something, some shoot 'em ups.
Can you kick above your head? Because, you know, that's in the audition. So
I can. I fall over afterwards, but I can do it.
That's where you land on the handstand. So, well, let's talk about the premiere. S.H.I.E.L.D. ended with a wonderful ending in season one. We now have season two. What were your first impressions?
First impressions were, well, first, yeah, one impression was Xena. I love Xena. I love that Lucy Lawless is, like, making this whole comeback. She was great on Parks and Rec. I want to know if she's still going to be Ron's wife on there, because I love her on there. But I like to see her, the whole thing, and you probably know the significance. I never know the background and all that stuff, but, like, whatever that creepy metallic futuristic thing was that was turning her hand into, like, not quite stone, I don't know, old clay or whatever, that was freaking creepy. And then cutting off her arm, that was like my big takeaway, like, holy freaking fudge, this is intense.
I had a different point of view on that, because I love Lucy Lawless. I had fun watching Xena in law school, but I thought her character was a moron, because we find the secret box with the first 084 that's been sealed, and in a combat situation, she cuts it open and then grabs the dangerous item with her bare hands.
Yeah, that was really dumb. All right, that was really dumb.
It's just, you're a field agent? Are you new? I mean, really? Why would you do that? I mean, it was sealed for a reason.
Fair point. That was good. Yeah. Can we digress for 1 second? It is kind of funny that I'm like, here they have this super secret, like, awful, awful thing, and they're like, we're just going to put it in this big government warehouse kind of thing, like just stacked with everything else, which I'm like, is either incredibly stupid or incredibly brilliant, right? I mean, maybe that is the best way to protect some super secret thing, is just throw it in some massive government warehouse somewhere where nobody will ever, like, see the significance of it.
It's both, because it's the Raiders of the Lost Ark ending.
Yeah.
You also had General Talbot and his men who took everything out of the S.H.I.E.L.D. warehouses that they had, and they just put it in there. They didn't know what they had. And if there's only one file in existence that was in Fury's toolbox about that information, they might not have realized that this is super dangerous. And also, when you have Talbot saying, we just want to throw everything on the bonfire, he probably doesn't care what's inside of it. He just sees everything as dangerous and they got to get rid of it.
He is a brute force kind of guy.
Not thinking. And that's dangerous when you have tactical situations.
So, okay, what was your big takeaway or first impression from the show?
Agent Ward and Brad Dalton, who plays him, does a magnificent, super creepy, obsessive guy.
He was creepy.
He could not do the chiseled jaw hero type well. People didn't like him doing that. As the creepy, obsessive, Silence of the Lambs type jail cell.
Ooh, yeah.
He's brilliant. It was exceptional what he did. So it's like, rock on, dude. He totally took that character from season one of I'm the Hero to obsessed with a woman. And the woman
running my head into walls kind of thing. Yeah, that was very, he did creep me out.
Yeah, I had a button. It's just like, dude, whoa. You know?
Or the paper cuts, which made me think of, by the way, total digression, but creepiest scene ever with paper cuts is Swimming with the Sharks, which is an early Kevin Spacey, like, very dark Inside Hollywood movie. Fantastic movie. It makes Frank Underwood look lighthearted. But yeah, great if you like Inside Hollywood and kind of very dark independent movies, Swimming with the Sharks. And a very creepy paper cut scene, and it involves... No, I was going to say it involves a Star Trek actress, but I'm not 100% positive. Anyway, so yes, okay, back to Grant being creepy.
He did a brilliant job at that. And so keep more of that, because he's acting. And it's just, he did a wonderful job of making everyone uncomfortable.
He did. I guess that's why I would say I wouldn't want a ton of that, because I'm not really into the whole let's watch creepy scenes. I want more Patton Oswalt. I'm like, that's what I want. Leave Grant Ward down there, see him once in a while. I want more Patton to every episode, and I want him to start maybe, you know, I love him so peppy and cheery, but I'd love like a few sly comments in there too, some Whedon-esque kind of comments, you know, because I love him.
The other takeaway I had was poor Fitz and diminished mental capacity. Here was the guy with a genius level IQ who's probably now just normal and frustrated because he's lost his intellect. Can't solve problems, can't remember words. Girl of his dreams leaving, thinking that would help him recover, and instead it completely shatters whatever psyche he has, and now he's imagining her.
Yeah.
As a part, being part of a group that's now on the run, it's not like they can get him the therapy and treatment and medical care he needs because they're all wanted. So here's a guy who should be having serious therapy and trying to have his mind reintegrated, and they're just having him in a lab trying to have him tinker with things in the hopes that he comes out of it with the occasionally check on him and go like, hey, buddy, how you doing? Tell me about the rabbits. You know, it's really, it's hurtful. It's hurtful to see him just destroyed.
It is sad. My question with that, obviously, is once we realize that Simmons was a figment of his imagination, and, you know, Agent Coulson said that she was gone, is, okay, you're on the run. Like, you have nobody else. Where is she, number one? And number two, she's really the bio geek, right? I mean, Fitz was more on the electronics computer side. She was more the medical bio geek. I assume that she's working on something to make Fitz better. And so that at some point, because you can only drag out this storyline for so long before it just becomes sad and pathetic and boring. So at some point, she's got to come back in, like the Calvary, and have some sort of fix for him.
I would hope so, because let's break this down. She did friend zone him. He then saved her life, throwing himself on the grenade, so to speak, for her to be able to live and get out. You would expect her to go back to England and be working on something out of just pure loyalty, because no one goes like, yes, he saved my life. It's really sad he's an idiot now. No one's going to... But luckily, I found a nice, attractive man to keep me company.
If you're going to be an idiot, you should be at least good-looking and muscular.
It's just, it's like, oh, God, the horror. So he's got... The fact that Coulson had been in England and there were two like little blips that came up in England, she's probably... She could be there.
True.
She could be there. I also wouldn't be surprised if one of those blips could have been Captain Britain. And as my friend Jerry O'Brien thought, maybe one of them could be the Black Knight. So those are other Marvel characters they might be able to introduce in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. So it also could be a descendant of Union Jack. So Union Jack was in the first Captain America, even though he wasn't in the costume. But we'll see. We'll see if they do anything in that vein. But it'd be kind of fun to see a little of England.
It would. Okay, and explain to me, before we get into, I know we're going to do some issue spotting, explain to me again, because I need more of the background, the bad Nazi Hydra guy who was back in Nazi, was it Austria or Germany, and he's still around.
Okay, I think part of that character I hadn't seen before.
Okay, I wasn't sure if he was part of the Marvel Universe.
But Von Strucker, who was in the credits scene in Captain America, he's from that time period, too. At least in the comics, he is. And in the latter half of World War II, the Nazis developed this anti-aging serum that the Red Skull gets, or even though he's kind of in suspended animation, and Von Strucker gets as well. So that Hydra director could have had something, probably had something like that, that gave him long life.
Okay.
Basically, their equivalent of the Infinity Formula, which Nick Fury also had in World War II, which is why he's been around for seven decades.
That's right. And we have to have, they need to have at least one guest appearance from him per season. Like, I hope that's written into something somewhere, because I love it every single time he shows up.
How do you not love Samuel L. Jackson?
I was just going to say, I love him in everything.
He is pretty awesome. So that would be my theory on how we have Nazis who were like 120 years old running around, that they were born in the 1890s.
Wow.
Still kicking. So,
and still being causing evil. Ugh.
Yeah, and that highlights, you know, when the map came up showing all the Hydra locations and agents that are out there, that's not good.
No.
And that ties into the issue spotting that we can now tackle. So what were some of the legal issues that you caught?
Well, the first one, actually, as satisfying as it is, but it's obvious, is false imprisonment, right? Like with Ward. I mean, they don't actually have any legal right to hold them, especially since, ironically, they're considered criminals, you know, enemies of the state sort of thing. So that would be obvious. And then the other obvious one, and then I'll let you do some of the other obvious ones as well, is stealing, breaking into and stealing government property, both with the weird thing that they tried to steal, although if you actually physically can't drop it, you're being rushed to the hospital, that maybe be some sort of defense to the attempt, the stealing. Well, not the attempted part, but, you know, anyway, maybe. A good lawyer can make an argument. But then the other thing, taking the, I guess they took both a motorcycle and then the, I forget what those planes are called that have the cloaking kind of device.
The Quintjet.
That's right.
So the Avengers have them too. So, at least they do in the comics. Ward is a prisoner. Gets kind of funky because in the season one finale, we have the admirals and generals who were members of the Joint Chiefs of Staff who are rescued, and what looks like the U.S. military arresting people. So how did Ward end up with the ex-SHIELD people? That's procedurally weird. Or did they take everybody, which would also be weird? Why would you do that? And so is there more people in the vault, and which is the vault is in the Marvel comics as a place where supervillains are kept. So that was a nice little hat tip to older Marvel comics.
Okay.
But I thought, okay, the fact that Talbot makes a Gitmo reference, you know, that's where Coulson belongs. It's like, yeah, but at least there's like a military tribunal. The SHIELD, ex-SHIELD folks didn't even do that.
No.
And there's plenty of evidence to have Ward put in front of a firing squad with all the people that he killed, weapons of mass destruction, all the bad that he did. There was plenty to convict him on. But when you get into this weird due process, false imprisonment, kidnapping, none of that's good. None of that. Now, on the little more on the esoteric side is we have Coulson flying coach.
I was going to talk about that too. Fudge. Yes. All right. That was my more subtle one.
Yeah, I looked up the no fly list in case law, and the actual definitions of what it is and what goes into it are not public. And the court in one of these no fly list cases reviewed everything in camera.
Wow, which means in private for the non-legal geeks out there. That means they reviewed in chambers and the other side doesn't get to see it at all.
Exactly, because of the national security issues involved with it. And did not disclose what's in the contents of it because that would also impact negatively national security. So if Coulson is boarding an airplane, he's got to be using a fake ID. It's either identity theft, he's impersonating somebody else, or they completely created a new identity for him. Either situation's bad because what he's doing is a crime because he's using false information to travel and probably pose as a U.S. citizen traveling abroad to England. But for those who are interested in the structure of where the no-fly list comes from, the FBI administers the Terrorist Screening Center, the TSC, which develops and maintains the Terrorist Screening Database, the TSDB, and the no-fly list is a subset of the TSDB, and the TSC provides the TSA with the no-fly list, and that, my friends, is why you go through the body scanner and have the freedom grope every time you
Nice and simple. Laid out right there for you.
It's the freedom hug. Let's go.
That's why. Hey, sometimes, you know, it's the only touch you get.
You know, that's why when I fly, I encourage people to wear body glitter. So everyone, wear body glitter. really don't think that would end well if you do, but hey, just putting it out there, you know.
That's right. And I was trying to figure out when they were firing on the, I don't know if that was that a naval base or army base, wherever they were, I guess army base, were they, I mean, they weren't actually shooting at American soldiers like with bullets, right? I assume that, I'm like, are those just like tranquilizers or what did they have those, what was the gun from last season?
The icers. They were using icers, which was a huge improvement comparison to when they attacked Tahiti. And they just kill those dudes.
Right.
They go into Tahiti with live weapons and shoot dudes and kill them. This time around, attacking U.S. soldiers, they're at least using night-night guns. So they're not actually killing anybody, which is good because it's tough to come back into the fold after you start killing U.S. soldiers. There's no coming back after that.
Mm-mm. And then the part that also, again, to the esoteric, not quite, you know, directly addressed kind of crimes, the thing that I always find interesting, and it's kind of convenient, and I don't know if this is true for real life spies, but, you know, how are they funding everything? Even just, you know, paying for groceries or electricity or computers, like where is the money coming from now that they don't have the SHIELD budget? You know, they always say, I know this is like an Alias in any spy movie, you know, spies apparently are quite good at stashing money places. Of course, how they even get to stash that money in the first place, where did that come from? It's all questionable, but you know, so I'm like, are they just, you know, is Sky running a whole Bitcoin thing online? You know, are they doing the whole Superman 3 shaving, you know, a tenth of a penny off of every single trade of some, you know, multinational company or some maybe they're doing high frequency trading. They're smart enough to do that. So where's the money coming from?
They could own the patent on Velcro and they've just been collecting royalties. They probably had stockpiles of it because there was a suitcase of money at the beginning for buying Intel. So that has to come from someplace. And you can't just go rack up frequent flyer points. And while they could engage in credit fraud somehow, you think a hacker would have the wherewithal to come up with fake credit cards and do that sort of thing. That only goes so far. I mean, there's got to be accounts. Fury was good at preparing. Maybe they figured out some extreme contingency of if you go dark, here's a slush fund.
Yeah.
But you think the NSA and the rest of the U.S. government would be watching for those anomalies.
Mm-hmm.
So, but again, if you're running stuff out of the Cayman Islands or the Swiss bank accounts.
Yeah. Not anymore. The Swiss bank accounts, they have to become visible now.
That's right. That's right. Well, you still have the Caymans. So yes. There's some offshore account where they could be funneling and getting U.S. money. But yeah, I don't know how they're funding it. So they're going to have a stack of crimes. So they're going to really need to save the day big in order for everyone to get presidential pardons.
That's right.
Congress will probably have to enact an amnesty type bill for everyone. I mean, we're talking like post-Civil War type of thing.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, it's been 10 years. You were part of the Confederacy. That's okay. That's over with. We're not going to shoot you anymore. So you can now work again. So they got to come up with something because there's lots of Hydra out there for them to fight.
There are. Another crime is both the capturing and imprisonment of the general and then impersonating the general. Obviously, I'm sure that there's probably some crime against impersonating, probably any government personnel, but especially impersonating a military officer.
There is. It's not quite identity theft because there wasn't any financial taking involved with that, but getting his fingerprints and, you know, other
giving orders on a base.
Yeah, none of that's good. And also, it's not wire fraud, but there's definitely a hacking issue with getting false orders sent in for General Jones to go in as well. And he did look a little too young for a general. That should have been maybe Colonel Jones, and that would have been a little easier.
Yeah, that's true.
Just make him a full colonel or a brigadier general. It's just not a full general. So that's... He's a little young for that. So
yeah,
that's I agree. I totally agree. You then get into reckless driving.
And definite traffic citations involved here.
Now, if you're not familiar with the comic, it was very cool seeing the Absorbing Man in action because that character runs around with a wrecking ball that's on a chain that he swings around and throws. And when he pulls the chain off the stanchions with the ball, it looked like the wrecking ball from the comics, but it was brass. So, you know, his arm turned to brass and he swings and it's like, okay, that was a big kiss for all the comic book geeks out there, for all of us.
Okay.
Like, thank you, rock on. So, well played, sir. Well played. So, they did that very, very well for all of us.
So, are you excited about season two?
I am. There were parts of season one that were great and parts that were like, eh. This started very strong, I think, for all the fans. And that's what they need to do. And they need to keep up the tempo and seeing, you know, what happens with the different characters. So, because there's a lot going on. And how will this go to Avengers 2? Will it tie to any of the Netflix shows that we eventually see? So there's a lot out there on what they could do. And also it'd be nice to know, where are they operating? Where's their secret base? Is it on
the... That's true.
I mean, are they buried in the Virgin Islands? I mean, like, where are they hiding? Because they could get to Virginia fairly quickly.
Yeah. They're up in Canada somewhere.
Yeah, I don't know. And I don't know if we ever will. But there's a lot of good stuff. So how do you feel about the rest of the season after one episode?
It was good. I am looking forward to it. If it's, you know, again, I love the characters, right, are so much of what I've always made the Whedon universe for me, or Whedonverse for me, is that, you know, sometimes the plot lines may come and go, may go up and down, but you love the characters. And so Sky, I'm still could care less about. I love May, you know, love Patton Oswalt, love Agent Coulson. So I would like Lucy Lawless. I mean, you're right. She was kind of a bonehead with that one move, but I otherwise kind of like her world weary sort of, you know, tough girl act. So I would like to see more of her. So as long as the characters are strong and I continue to like those characters, Skye is the one I'm having the hardest time with. I just still find her kind of, I don't know if it's the actress or the character, just boring. And, you know, they try to have this whole complicated background for her, but I just don't find her that interesting.
That would make liking her hard. I don't have that feeling towards her. I think that they've done a big character change with her.
And
she looks more like the full field agent now and is kind of embittered because their worlds did fall apart. Let's call a spade. Their worlds fell apart. It'll be interesting to see where they go because they have a lot of work to do. They're recruiting, so that means we'll see more S.H.I.E.L.D. agents in some form, and there'll eventually be redemption. There has to be. Because if they're on the run for a couple seasons, that's going to get old. So they got to be able to... You want to see them fall and then build back up. Whether it's saving the day in a significant manner, and with all the threats that they have, there's a lot of saving that they can do. So that's a good thing. But I'm very happy with how they started. I'm super excited about Agent Carter.
Oh, yes.
That looked very cool. So that was a nice little tease for what we get this winter. So
yes, that will be awesome.
That's a good thing. We have like, what, 20 weeks of S.H.I.E.L.D.-related TV coming up. So that's awesome.
All Marvel all the time. You do a whole this Marvel channel.
It's like there's at least one post a week for me to write. Rock on! Thank you, Whedons. Love you guys. So, yeah. Other than, you know, I might be very critical in post because it's like, hey, you're outright violating the Constitution. That's kind of my job to go like, dude, really? But I love it. It's absolutely such a great joyride to have on a weekly basis.
It is pretty awesome.
Excellent. Well, that, America, stay geeky. Stay geeky, America.